Lucas walked into the lobby of the police station and coughed loudly to get the attention of a nearby officer. It had been 2 weeks since he saw the woman he loved die before him, before quickly succumbing to death's cold embrace himself. However, in this delinquent world we live in, this was not the end. He was brought back for some higher purpose he could never possibly imagine. Seeing your world collapse and being brought back from the inky peace of death, it was enough to drive a man insane. Not Lucas, however. Lucas remained steadfast in his goal. Dying didn't drive him insane. Overcooking his Pop-Tarts did. He was taking a leak and regaining 5 sanity points when he caught a whiff of burnt jam. His toaster was billowing smoke. "The Eldritch Night and Tempest," he uttered as his sanity dipped to -23. This led him to the police station. "Excuse me, officer," Lucas mumbled to the shaggy brown head in front of him. I'd like to confess."
"Yes, what is—"
Jeffrey turned around and stopped mid-sentence. He looked at the world weary, beaten features of Lucas. What happened was a moment. Static jumped between them, and although not a word was said, they both knew their lives had led them to this point. "I'm sorry," Jeffrey continued. "Did you say you wanted to confess?" He bit his lip as he said confess, playfully hoping Lucas would smile. "I've done something terrible," Lucas said. "It's okay," Jeffrey interrupted. "I bet I've done much worse." He took him by the arm, winked, and led him to the investigation room. Seeing as this is the year 2009, a whopping 1 year ahead of us, the world is a familiar but strange place. See, in 2009, police interrogation rooms look like the cockpit of a World War II fighter plane and face out across the city. It was here Jeffrey sat Lucas down and turned off the camera. He plonked Lucas down on a chair and sat on the edge of the desk, his foot between Lucas's legs. He lit up a cigarette and took a long, seductive pull on it. "So, what did you do?" he asked, exhaling smoke between his pursed lips. "Well, I—" Lucas began. But before he could do anything, Jeffrey pounced on him and kissed him deeply and passionately, making himself hard instantly. He couldn't feel Lucas's boner because he was more interested in how cold this man's lips were. But he didn't care. If anything, it made him more curious. He slipped his hands down the front of Lucas's pants. It's like a popsicle, only much, much larger." But this moment of ecstasy was shattered.
"A gentleman!"
A voice boomed through the intercom. A familiar voice. "No!" uttered Jeffrey.
"What is it?"
Lucas tried to say, but his mouth was full of emo man meat. "This building, it has a good cop, bad cop regulation. I'm the good cop."
"And I am the bad cop!"
The voice boomed again. The red biplane swooped at them from the horizon. "It's no good. He's coming at us with the sun behind his back. I can't make any evasive maneuvers." Lucas just sat there dumbfounded. "He's coming right for us!" And there he was in the cockpit with them. Tyler Miles himself, the Black Baron.
"Hello, my little whipping dog. I am back from the Florida. You miss me, yeah?"
"He's the suspect here, Tyler. We're both cops. You can't do this."
"Oh, you cannot tell me what I can and cannot do, Jeffrey. Now it's time for you to find out why they call me the donkey, huh? Ha ha!"
The building shook back and forth as Tyler unleashed his terrible fury on both men. The Black Baron was a foe never to be crossed.